Our standard of pure devotion given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami is that definition of pure bhakti, anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana karma yanavritam, anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. That uttam bhakti, pure topmost bhakti, or shuddha bhakti, is uncovered, it's pure, it's pristine. There's no contamination or adulteration, no mixture, no covering. No covering of material ambition or desire. No covering of karma, no covering of jnana or desire for mukti, liberation, or any position like this. So, Prahlad Maharaj is considered to be, he's not jnana, karma, anavritam. Why? Because his bhakti is covered by some jnana, a little bit of karma. That's why he's called a jnana bhakta. It's not shuddha bhakti exactly, because at another time, which is told in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Prahlad Maharaj, he fought with Krishna. He fought with the Lord when the Lord appeared as Naranarayan Rishi at Badrinath. That pastime is there in Puranas. So the Lord's mercy, there's a whole discussion of Narada Muni is having, or questioning as, which devotees receive the most mercy of the Lord. So we're talking about the Lord, we're talking about the devotee, we're talking about the reception of mercy. How to measure it, how to prove it, how to decide it. So how does the mercy come? How does the mercy of the Lord come to a devotee? The actual mercy of the Lord descends to a devotee only when he performs pure shuddha bhakti, pure devotion. And this is what Prahlad Maharaj is responding himself directly to Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is glorifying him as being the recipient of all the special mercy. He said, listen, don't you know? Only when you do shuddha bhakti, my bhakti is somewhat mixed. Therefore, I don't have the special mercy, Prahlad is saying. I'm not free from karma and jnana. And then he says, just see the behavior of Banasura. Banasura came, can understand my own situation. Banasura rejected the family deity of Lord Vishnu and took up Shiva worship. Means misbehavior. So if I'm a devotee of Lord Vishnu and Banasura, because Banasura is the great grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, if Banasura is in my family, he actually became so demoniac because he captured Aniruddha and imprisoned him. It means that he lacks pure devotion. And such an activity of Banasura, because Banasura had a daughter named Usha. And Usha fell in love with Aniruddha. So Aniruddha came and lived with her in her private quarters in the palace for a short time, and she became pregnant. And her father became rather disturbed. And then he locked up Aniruddha, and then Pradyumna and Balaram and everyone came to attack Banasura and Krishna, and they fought, and Shiva fought on behalf of Banasura. It's in the Krishna book. So Prahlad is saying, what kind of shuddha bhakta am I? Because if I am a pure devotee and I have received special mercy of the Lord, then why aren't all the generations of my ancestors pure devotees? Such activity of Banasura, who is my great grandson, this could not happen in the family of pure devotees. So this rascal has tarnished my dynasty. How can I be a pure devotee? Prahlad is telling. Because if it's a fact, then because if someone's a pure devotee, when he dies, then the Lord liberates 21 generations. So this is the proof I'm not a pure devotee. I've not received special mercy of Lord Vishnu. Because Banasura wasn't liberated, he was fighting the Lord. And look at my association. Pure devotees are always satam prasangam mamavirya samvido. They're always associating with advanced devotees themselves and hearing Harikatha. What is my association? I'm always associating with asuras. And I preach Brahmavad. I preach against the principle of bhakti. I'm preaching Atma Tattva Gyan. I'm influenced by my birth and association, Jati Sobhav. I'm also experiencing rag and dvesh, love and hate, two tendencies of conditioned souls are to love and hate. Sometimes they attack the Lord, and I think that the Brahmanas are demoniac. And sometimes I'm preaching a hum brahmasmi, therefore I don't have pure devotion within me. This Prahlad Maharaj is preaching Gyan, is considered to be the beginning of bhakti, the threshold of bhakti. It's called Shanta Bhakti. But his preaching was more the Gyan. He wasn't really actually doing any service like Hanuman. Prahlad Maharaj is admitting there that his karma is mixed with Gyan, his bhakti is mixed with karma and Gyan. So that's the conclusion, that Prahlad Maharaj is a Gyani Bhakta, Shanta Bhakta. So what are the points that are shown by the story of Prahlad Maharaj? He shows that the basis of pure bhakti is nishta in bhakti. Only desire devotion. And don't want any boon from the Lord, even liberation. Why was Prahlad made the ruler of Hiranyakashipu's empire? He's a devotee, why would he care about ruling a big kingdom? It said because he wanted to preach and liberate all the demons and humanity. So he needed some position. For example, we see that the king of Manipur, he became converted by Narottam Das Thakur. He was a Shakta before Shaivite. He became converted by Narottam Das Thakur to become a Gaudiya Vaishnava. And when the king of Manipur became a Gaudiya Vaishnava, he declared that Gaudiya Vaishnavism is a national religion. And therefore, because Gaudiya Vaishnavas are Bengali script and Bengali literature, all of our newspapers should be in Bengali script, although it's Manipuri language. So everyone will have to learn Bengali so they can learn how to read. They learn Bengali script, then they can read the Bengali Shastras of the Goswamis and all the great Gaudiya Vaishnava Shastra. Then the second point he made is that everyone, of course, should practice the worship Gauranga, worship Radha Govinda. He made Radha Govinda the state deities, established the deities of Radha Govinda. They're in Imphal and Manipur. Because Radha Govinda are the worshipable deities of Rupa Goswami. They're the Seva Murtis of all the Gaudiyas. This was his special contribution, because he was a king and had so much influence that he made the entire kingdom a Gaudiya Vaishnava state. Even to this day, all the Manipuris are initiated in the Narottam Parampara, Narottam Das Thakur. He even said that people can't even bring their school books inside the house. They have to leave school books in a mailbox outside the house. Like a little box, because they considered them to be contaminated. The only books that were allowed to be kept in the house were Bengali Shastras. Jiva Goswami Satsandarbha translated into Bengali, and Bhagavatam in Bengali, like this. So this is Prahlad. He wanted to have that position, that influence, that money, so he could preach. Because if you want to preach, what do you need? In a big way, you need a big temple so people are impressed and thousands of people come. And when they come, then you can preach.
Yes, Maharaj.
You have an audience. So money is helpful. Prabhupada had no money, so he couldn't spread Krishna consciousness too much in the beginning. But then he got sufficient funds and started spreading like anything, book distribution, temples, etc.,
yes.
Festivals, Rath Yatra. To put on a Rath Yatra festival, it costs at least $25,000 in America, more like $50,000. So that's a lot of money.
Yes.
But it's a big preaching effort also. Big preaching effect. So Prahlad had position, influence, money. So why? What happened? The Sringadeva gave him the post to Prahlad Maharaj. Because there's no better way to preach than controlling a kingdom. Then you can enforce the religion. That's what the Muslims want to do. They preach by the sword, the Quran in one hand and the sword in another. You accept the Quran? No, okay, chop. off with the head.
Yeah.
So this is really good preaching. They give you one chance. You do or die. Accept or die. When King Ambarish was the great King Ambarish, who practiced all the 9 different limbs of devotion, and attained perfection. So when he became king, he passed a law in his kingdom that everybody in the kingdom had to perform Ekadasi Vrata. So if the king is saintly, then he can change the majority of the people. Everyone will follow him. Yad yad acharati shrestas tatade viktarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanavartate. Krishna says in Gita, whatever a great man does, a Brahmin, a Rajarshi, a Rishi, a king, saintly king, whatever a great man, pious, religious person does, then all the world will pursue. So now the great men are movie stars, politicians,
yes,
terrorists,
yes,
and people follow them. They become little terrorists. They become little movie stars,
yes,
and little cricket players, little sportsmen. So this is the situation. Everyone will follow a saintly king. So when Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were preaching, they met many kings. They were not just sitting under a tree. They came to Vrindavan, of course, they were sleeping under a tree, but they also preached so much in Bengal and other places. So they go into the palaces and meet them and preach to them. They also mixed with and influenced the local people. Even today, after 500 years, the disappearance of Sanatana Goswami, this Guru Purnima, all over India in July, there's a day called Guru Purnima,
yes, ma'am,
which is the beginning of Chaturmasya. And all the disciples of the various gurus, be they Mayavad or Vaishnav, they worship their gurus on that day. They bring flowers and fruits, and some dan and some dakshin, and they sing some prayers, take darshan of their guru. It's called Guru Purnima. But in Braj Mandal, what's written on the Hindi calendar also, they call it Mudia Purnima. Mudia means shaved head, something like that. Mudia. They call it Mudia Purnima because this is the day, the Tirobhava of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami left this day. So even after 500 years, because he was so influential with the local people, because he was traveling, they don't call it, they actually name the day after him. This is the day that Shaved Head Baba left this world. This is a disappearance day of the Bald Head Baba. Like we have Dariwala.
Yes,
so this is Mudia Baba.
Yes.
Dariwala means the man with the big beard.
Yes,
the Baba with the beard. Dadi Baba.
Yes,
Dadi Baba. He's a big beard. So this is Mudia Baba. He has no beard. He has no hair. He's shaved head. Because in those days, 500 years ago, there are many Nimbarki sadhus living here. Many regular sadhus moving here. There, they all have beards and hair. Nimbarkis. Only Gaudiyas shave their head. Gaudiyas and Buddhists. Other Vaishnavas, they all grow their hair. So that's special. Well, this shows the influence of Sanatana Goswami all over Braj Mandal. Actually, Rupa and Sanatana, they greatly influenced the local Brajvasi, so much so that the day that Sanatana Goswami left this world on Guru Purnima, some 500 or so years ago, all the Brajvasi shaved their heads, just like they do when a father dies, because they considered Mudia Baba, as they call him.
Yes,
Mudia Baba, Sanatana Goswami. The Brijvasis consider Sanatana Goswami just like their father, due to the love that he showed all the Brijvasis. This is called love, this is called relationship based on love. He was some Bengali sadhu from East Bengal, Bangladesh. And they were Brijvasis,
yes,
but they loved him. Because he was so kind and so caring and so humble and submissive and so austere and renounced and pure and detached and so expert in preaching. So they really loved him, just like a son loves his father. They considered him like a father figure. Sanatana Goswami is showing 2 examples in his life, which is parallel to Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad was preaching to the schoolmates in tiffin hour, 5-year-old preacher. But he was also caring for people. He was praying to Lord Nrisimhadev, please liberate these poor fools. Please save them. Please save my father. Please liberate him. So these are two points that a preacher should consider, is that not only should we preach, but we should also care for the people. Take care of the people. Are they peaceful? Are they happy? When Sanatana Goswami is described in Bhakti Ratnakara, when he would meet different people, grihasthas primarily, he would ask them, how are your animals? How's your crops? Was the the monsoon brought sufficient rain this year? Your crops are growing nicely. So this was his special love on everyone. That otherwise he could just walk through, say Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe, Maya, Maya, Radhe Radhe, and take some rotis and go his way. But he would speak to them. He would speak with them and say, you're having some difficulty in your family, not very peaceful. Are you reading Mahabharata? Are you reading Ramayanapat? Are you reading Bhagavatapat? And they would say, no. Oh, please, you start reading Bhagavatapat every day. You please chant some mala. So preaching means influencing, means helping. So he was very helpful. So he cared for the people. Not that he was a welfare worker or a doctor or some psychiatrist, but he's a preacher, giving them Krishna bhakti. So this is the real care for people. He's preaching and caring. If we say that a devotee has nothing material, then this is an impersonal concept, Gyan Marg. Prahlad Maharaj, a devotee should be detached. He should not have anything material. This is a Mayavad conception. This is a Mayavad Gyan Marg. Sadhu, Niskinchan Sadhu, Akinchan Sadhu. Look at the life of Prahlad Maharaj. He occupied the post of an emperor. He accepted a vast post, fame and wealth. Why? Only for serving the Lord. And he was not implicated. He was not implicated in any reaction or karmic reactions. He didn't become attached to his wealth. He didn't become attached to his position or anything, because he was always meditating on the Lord, on Lord Vishnu, Vishnu Smaranam. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. So that's the perfection. Prahlad attained perfection by always meditating. And finally, in his refutation of Narada Muni's miscalculation or misjudgment of him being the primary recipient of the mercy of the Lord, Prahlad admits that, okay, I got some mercy from the Lord, but I didn't get special mercy. Although Prahlad, it's a fact we see in the paintings in Bhagavatam, he was always engaged in singing and dancing, engaging in Hari Kirtan. He had no interest in moksha. He was always preaching and showing mercy to the fallen souls. Still, Prahlad himself says that these alone are not symptoms of getting the special mercy of the Lord. Someone say, oh, he's doing big preaching. He must be really getting the mercy of the Lord. He's doing such big preaching. He's establishing temples all over the world. So many books. He's doing big preaching. He's really getting the mercy of the Lord. He's empowered by the Lord. He's getting the mercy of the Lord. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying, no. He's preaching, he's doing Hari Kirtan, he's not interested in moksha. But Prahlad is saying himself that these alone are not symptoms of that I got the special mercy of the Lord. You might say, okay, someone's preaching a lot, distributing lots of books, opening temples, making disciples. So he got mercy, but not special mercy. So if you've actually received special mercy of the Lord, you'll exhibit all these symptoms, preaching, always doing Hari Kirtan, compassion for others, and more. So Prahlad says about himself, Prahlad Maharaj says, finally he says in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, actually I'm not qualified to have the special mercy, and I never had the special mercy. So this is some points about Prahlad Maharaj.